Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
617. It's a pleasure to be here filling in for Tommy Tucker. Someone just texted us on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Said, Dave, Nicholas is going to bring the rain, but you bring the sunshine. Well, thank you. That's very sweet of you. I hope that I can at least bring a little happiness at times when we need some of that desperately. That's one of my goals, is to give people something to smile about all the time if I can. Even when times are tough, we need to find ways to enjoy life and be happy with the good things around us. So thank you for texting, and I'm glad that I can make your life just a little sunnier. Peter Scharf is an adjunct professor and criminologist at LSU Health New Orleans School of Medicine. Peter, did things get any better during the last couple of weeks in the aftermath of Ida in terms of crime in the city of New Orleans?
Well, we have 150 murders. I think it's slowed down. And, I was in the middle of it. I bet your reaction to this interview is the same as mine. We've seen this movie before because we were there during Katrina together. WWL, I should say it because so you don't have to. WWL was during Katrina, the hero station. Most of the information we got came from you and Carl and Bob and your team. But the thing I've been thinking about, and to answer your question a little indirectly, is how did what we're seeing now compare to what we saw right after Katrina? You know, what were the differences? And after Katrina, and I had that article in the New York Times I sent in, there were almost no murders for several months after Katrina.
Well, there was nobody here. The city was 99% evacuated after Katrina. The difference with Ida is that it was maybe 50 to 75% evacuated. So there are plenty of people who stayed to keep committing crime in the aftermath of Ida. And they're all coming back now.
Yeah. And that's what we found was in the beginning of 2006, in the second quarter of 2006, the murder rate went back to almost where it was, controlling for population, and stayed relatively stable from that point on. So the murder, we're continuing to be in excess of last year's total of 204 murders. Nothing really slowed down. There was a murder right across where I live, by the way.
Yeah, and we had two shootings and a murder last night in the city of New Orleans. So
right.
It looks like we're getting right back to normal. Looks like it took a brief pause. If we're at 150 now, we had 204 last year. We still got 3.5 months left to go. Do you think we surpassed last year's total for murder this year? Do you see anything to keep that from happening?
Well, it's hard to say. You know, you said you're a beacon of light. You know, you better be a really good beacon of light to predict that.
Yeah, I don't know that much. I don't have that much sunshine.
I know. But, you know, again, the question, which I think is, criminologists worry about when they're trying to sleep with 100-degree heat, is what really were the differences? And I think there were some differences. And I think the police department in the city in some ways have to be commended. You know, remember on your station, Ray Nagin got up and said, we have marital law. He meant martial law. Anybody who's been married probably laughed. But and then they had the shoot to kill order, both from Governor Blanco and from Nagin, and the rampant rumors that were running around. you know, babies raped in the convention center, all that kind of thing. So that I think the media was much more controlled, and I think the city and the police department were much more in control of their messaging and tactics. I mean, you know, with all the while looting is a huge issue, there was no one was calling on shooting looters. And then, you know, we had these horrific incidents, which you'll remember I was involved in as an expert, the Glover case and the Danziger case, where you had these two things. One, shootings by police officers, and the second were these horrific gut-tearing trials that I think the police department is still suffering from. The other thing you had then, which I don't think I've quite seen yet, is this you know, pattern of commuter murders. Remember this character, B. Stupid Harris, who would wake up in the morning in Houston, shoot somebody in New Orleans, and go home to bed. You know, so you had this pattern of violence up and down I-10 that is very, you know, I haven't seen that so far now, and I don't expect it.
There are market differences, I think, Peter, and you know that, you know, during Katrina, 40,000 New Orleanians were taken by bus to Houston. And Houston authorities complained that their murder rate spiked there. 20,000 were taken by bus to Atlanta. And those people, by the way, were given one-way tickets. They were never brought back. The difference this time is that the vast majority of people did stay. I mean, some people chose to evacuate, but there was no busing to take folks who didn't have cars or didn't choose to leave away from the city. And I guess the other major difference was that the levees held and we didn't have this incessant 80% of the city flood. And by and large, communications continued to work. So police still had working radios and most people still had working cell phones. And yeah, there are comparisons, obviously, to Katrina versus Ida, but we'll continue the conversation after that. I just realized I'm running late. I was so enthralled by what you were saying, I forgot we had to take a break for traffic here on WWL. 627, Dave Cohen in for Tommy Tucker, talking with Peter Scharf, adjunct professor and criminologist at LSU Health New Orleans School of Medicine. Peter, we talked about comparing this storm to Katrina and what happened in the aftermath of each, but let's look forward now with 3.5 months left in this year, 150 murders already in New Orleans, and what seems like violent crime that is still very difficult for police to get a handle on. Is anything changed post-Ida that you see that will keep this violent crime from continuing the surge the way it has been all year?
Well, I think the... you know, Sean, I met with Sean on behalf of Business Council, and I was impressed. You know, I think that he's learned
police,
a lot.
Police Chief Sean Ferguson.
Sean Ferguson, police chief. And meet again, I hope, in a week or so. And there, by the way, a group of the business community are really trying to jump in and help provide whatever fiscal support they can to the effort. And it's, you know, and again, you have a very savvy Homeland Security Director, Colonel Terry Everett of the Marine Corps. And he's a veteran of the last one and a war and everything else. And I think that the team is settling in. Having said that, the pressures involving crime, the economic disruption, the chaos, the enemy, all those factors and you know, lawlessness, you know, a criminal justice system that's in half functioning or not functioning. And, you know, we're in trouble from that point of view. And again, one of the other comparisons is we were so successful in terms of COVID and relatively successful, I think, in terms of Ida. I think that's what the jury will say from police and city point of view, and not really at all in terms of violent crime. So that's the other contrast to ponder. Is murder just a more difficult problem to solve? So there are a lot. I guess this morning I have more questions than answers. And since you were there too, you know, we can, you know, work it through together. And when Tommy comes back, we'll involve him.
All right. Well, Peter, I know we'll pick up this conversation next Tuesday, but doesn't sound like there's a whole lot to be hopeful about in terms of reducing violent crime as that battle continues here in the city of New Orleans. I'm Dave Cohen. Coming up, we'll check in with the National Weather Service for the latest on Nicholas.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.